Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
So good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. This is the church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. I am Pastor Hazel Bates, your clergy liturgist, together with Paula Cunningham and Carl Kaputska. We are your worship leaders for this morning. Pastor John will continue speaking in the series in unpacking the hard stuff, and he will help us to understand the call of Jesus to be a slave to all. A connection card in your bulletin is our way to get connected to you, and you can check some ministry opportunities for you at the back. You can sign them up, and a prayer card is also available for you, so we can pray for you, and you can place both the connection card and the prayer card in the offering plate later. So our kids, children, Sunday school is waving. Kids, you can now go and be part of it. For our announcement, Easter egg hunt will be happening on March 21. That will be Saturday, 10 a.m. here and 1 p.m. at Whitmore Lake. So let us share the joy of Easter. That's why children and their families are invited to the free outdoor egg hunt. And this church is huge enough to hold this exciting, not just exciting, but exciting event. So register in advance. For the Easter food basket, in the spirit of Easter season, this church is in need of volunteers to prepare boxes of nutritious food for families in Whitmore Lake. And you can also donate for this purpose. I think it's in the connection card, so you can sign that up. And there were some family-friendly way to participate for this Easter food basket. March 25, it's Wednesday morning, it says there, meet at the local grocery store to pick up the order and then transport to the Whitmore Lake campus and help set up the food basket. And the next day, March 26th, Thursday, that will be Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m., you can help pack 40 food baskets, and you can work by yourself with a partner or as a family. And Saturday, March 28th, 9:45 in the morning, you can help distribute the Easter food baskets. And third in our announcements, we have lay servants classes. The Heritage District is holding a lay servant classes for free this spring. And it reminds me my district, because I used to be one of the lecturers in this lay servant classes. And so they are both by Zoom and in-person classes. Just check the church website for more information. These lay servant classes provide an opportunity for personal growth and for you, for us, to learn more about our church, the United Methodist Church. And of course, it's also a way to provide leadership in the church as well. So this is the time to become a certified lay servant once you attended the required classes. And last, for our announcement, morning for moms, 8:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon on April 11 here at Brighton Campus. This is an invitation for every mom, a half day of relaxation and spiritual renewal. Don't worry about your small kids from nursery to fifth grade, because there is a child care available for you. So register by April 8th. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn. Our song, When I Survey the Wondrous Grace, number 298.
Good morning, all you early risers. Please join me in prayer.
Lord Jesus,
we lift up our hands to you. Use them to be your hands serving in this world. We lift our voices in word and song. Use them to speak for you in the world. When we are busy, help us find time for you. And when we are afraid, give us courage to serve in your name. Amen.
Forgive our sins as we forgive. Hymn number 390. Sorry, Paula. No, it's all good. It's all good.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 44. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we want." "What do you want from me?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't realize what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I baptized with. But to sit at my right or left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Paula, for reading our scripture this morning. And the screens are back. Hey! Thanks so much to our tech team back there for working miracles. It kind of felt like Y2K okay. So we're like, you know, it was daylight savings time. Who knows, you know, like what was going on. But thank you to our tech team for getting us back online. I felt like... That's a huge gift. And thanks for singing out of the hymnals. I don't know if that felt like that took you back, you know, a little bit, but it's good to break out those beautiful books in the back of the pews in front of you and see all the beautiful hymns that are contained in our spiritual tradition. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to confront injustice in whatever forms we find it. Amen. So we're continuing a sermon series, The Difficult Words of Jesus, the Unpacking the Hard Stuff is the title of our series. It's a series that's based on this book that we've been reading, and several people have come up to me and said, "This book is difficult," and I'm like, yes, it is. We're talking about the difficult words of Jesus, and these are passages throughout the Gospels where Jesus says some things that frankly make us feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. We're like, why did Jesus say that? Or why did the gospel writers record that? Why did they include that in the passages that we have access to about Jesus? And one of the things that I love about the scripture is that they're honest. They didn't edit things out. They didn't redact certain things that maybe weren't quite lined up right. I believe if the scriptures were written today, we'd probably have ChatGPT or some form of AI go through the entire scripture and be like, "We found 25 inconsistencies in the scripture. Are you really sure you want to tell this story? This feels incompatible with the rest of what the scriptures are talking about." But this rendition, this story of scripture includes it all, including the uncomfortable spots. And this particular story tells a little vignette of James and John, two of the disciples who were eager to show off to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, would it be okay when you come into your glory, when we go to heaven, that one of us would sit at your right hand and the other one would sit at the left hand of God? Could we have a privileged space in heaven? Can we be your right hand and left hand guy? Can we have an elevated spot in heaven?" And Jesus' response sort of flips that whole thing on its head. Whoever is called to be my disciple will be last instead of first, will come and serve or be like a servant to all. Jesus actually used the word doula, which means to be a slave, not just a servant, but a slave. And something that I've been wrestling with a little bit as I've prepared for this message is the fact that in Jesus' time, roughly 30% of the people who lived in the Roman Empire were slaves. So roughly one out of every three people participated in the reality of slavery during Jesus' day. So it was incredibly common for people to be owned by other people. It wasn't just the Roman Empire, but throughout history, many of the different empires that have existed throughout human history have participated in this evil and terrible reality of owning other people. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, there were multiple passages that reference slavery, some of which make us incredibly uncomfortable. Our spiritual ancestors were all slaves in the land of Egypt. This was part of the biblical account of our spiritual ancestors that at one point, the people who sort of laid the groundwork for Jesus' arrival were all enslaved by Pharaoh. And that shaped them a little bit. There were passages in the Old Testament that I looked up this week that talked about being charitable and kind to those who you were enslaving, our spiritual ancestors, so to speak. And when you go on and look at that, they say that you're called to be reminded of the fact that you too, your people, were once slaves, and so you ought to treat your slaves in a kind way. And as I read all these things about slavery, I kept coming back to the fact that there's something about the biblical witness of slavery that leaves me profoundly unsatisfied. Ultimately, if Jesus was God and had all the power and all the knowledge that God has, I sometimes am frustrated that Jesus didn't come out and say that slavery is wrong. Abolish it at all costs. Get rid of any practice or institution that allows one person to own another person. It's just categorically wrong in all places, at all times, in all situations, that this institution is vile and evil. But really, one of the first examples of a statement like that I was able to come across actually came from John Wesley, the founder of United Methodism. In 1791, he wrote a piece against slavery that absolutely eviscerates the practice of slavery. And in that writing, as I was reading through that, he comes to a point where he goes, "And if you want to see an example of the most vile and heinous treatment of one human being against another, take one look at the American slave trade, and in that you will find the most disgusting example of human existence and human practice the world has ever seen." He didn't mince words. He was ashamed by what he had seen, and he's like, if you have seen the slave trading blocks in the south part of the United States, you too would join me in the evisceration of this practice of humanity. This practice of the slave trade was one of the most vile things that John Wesley had seen in his entire life. And I wish that the scriptures were a little bit more clear and clairvoyant about how evil and heinous this practice is. And it's easy for us to sit here today and think the institution or the practice of slavery is something that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and it doesn't really touch or impact or affect us. But I do remember a couple of years ago when I had the fortunate opportunity to go to Israel, to the Holy Land, to see the places where Jesus walked and taught and healed people, the ways that he was engaged in ministry. We took this additional extension that took us over to Egypt, and I was telling the guys from Men with Tools about this story earlier on this week, but we were sitting there. We went into this textile industry sort of warehouse, and we were all asked to go sit down at a loom next to somebody who was making rugs that eventually would get shipped to Europe and to the United States. And I sat down next to this kid, and I was looking at him, and I looked into the eyes of a child. I was absolutely convinced that this young person was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, he was young enough that he should have been playing soccer and going down a slide. And I didn't have kids at the time. I was in seminary. But I leaned over to him and I said, "How old are you?" And he said, 13. And I was like, that is definitely a planted answer. There is no way that you're 13 years old. I didn't ask him any other questions. I was afraid that somehow I would get him into trouble if I investigated the situation further. But there was this child who was sitting there at a bench next to me, and I just started weeping because I recognized that in the world today, slavery takes on many different forms. If you go online, you can find all kinds of resources about human trafficking and other vile institutions that continue to plague our society today. Owning another person is wrong. Christianity offers us a pathway through this. And as I looked at this passage, I recognized that when Jesus said, in order to be my disciple, you must make yourself a slave, a servant to all, there's something powerful about what Jesus was saying. And while I'm unsatisfied that Jesus doesn't say that slavery is wrong, period, for all people at all times and all circumstances, he does something interesting in this passage that allows me to continue to find my way through it. He says, you, my disciples, you who want to sit in the right hand and the left hand of God, you who have this presumption that you might have a privileged place in heaven, if you want that seat, the thing that you'll have to do is make yourself a servant, to roll up your sleeves and do the dirty jobs. You guys remember that TV show from Mike Rowe? You're like, go clean out the sewers. If you want a privileged place in heaven, roll up your sleeves and get yourself dirty. If you want to find yourself in a privileged spot next to God, then go do the dirty work. Humble yourself. Get down on your hands and knees. Scrub a toilet. The first Sunday that I was at Cass Community United Methodist Church in Detroit, the church that I was at before coming here to Brighton, I was working for one of my favorite people in the world, Reverend Faith Fowler, and somebody came up to her and let her know that the bathroom was dirty. And she looked right at me in the eyes and she said, John, go get some gloves on. Clean that toilet. And I looked at Faith and I was like, yes, ma'am. Have you ever scrubbed a toilet? Have you ever scrubbed dirt off a floor? Have you ever washed somebody's feet? Have you ever got down on your hands and knees and done something that you felt like at some level in the order or the hierarchy of the universe was below you? Have you ever helped somebody shower at the end of their life when they're not able to use their body the same way that they used to? Have you ever been involved in some of those experiences that you sometimes feel like you shouldn't quite have to do? Maybe Jesus was talking to you in those moments. That work is hard. It's humiliating sometimes. You come into contact with stuff that might make you feel uncomfortable or sick to your stomach. I think in that moment, Jesus is saying, blessed are you for doing that work. I wish that I could say that the scriptures do enough to undo slavery. As I was sitting next to this kid on a bench in the textile or industry in Egypt, I wish that I could just go shake the door of the institution. I was fresh into seminary studies thinking, this isn't the way the world is supposed to be. We ought to have a different kind of socioeconomic system where those kids don't have to be sitting at the bench providing resources for their families. They should be out kicking a soccer ball, playing on a playground, or doing something in the world. Every once in a while, I get into these arguments with people who are so proud that they found a t-shirt at the store down the street for $5 or less, and I kind of swim up the stream of where that shirt might have come from and how a company is able to sell something that was made in another country for $5 or less. Sometimes when people tell me what a great deal they got, I think of myself sitting next to the boy on that bench and wonder if that garment story might have been similar to those rugs and carpets that I saw in Egypt. I wrestle with that sometimes. And sometimes I'm happy to pay full price. There's a website that you can go on and you type in some things about your lifestyle, how big your house is, etc., how many clothes and shoes and whatever you might have. And at the end of it, it spits out a number that suggests how many people that you essentially have as slaves working for you to support the lifestyle that you leave. I'm here to tell you, for me, that's an incredibly uncomfortable number. It makes me wonder if there's a part of me that's sort of like James and John saying, God, look at me, I've been so faithful. I'm a United Methodist pastor. Can I sit at your right hand and your left hand? And there may be some part of God that looks at me and says, well, John, that's really nice that you served the church over the course of your career. I want to take you back to this number. Over the course of your life, you've had 139 slaves, some of them invisible. You'll never know their names, you'll never know their stories, but the shoes that you wore, the clothes that you put on your back, in some part of their story, there was somebody working in a place, not getting paid, owned by somebody else, so that you could have the stuff that you have. You tell me, Pastor John, do you deserve a place at my left hand or at my right hand, or do they? My uncomfort with that reality is that probably they deserve that space more than I do. If there's anybody that deserves to have good news, perhaps it's somebody who's been human trafficked or somebody who's been digging for diamonds in places in Africa under fear of their own life or death. There's some good news in the midst of this passage. There's a way forward for all of us, and that is that we're all called to set aside our privileged spaces in society, to set aside our sort of high aspirational hopes of being at Jesus' right hand and left hand, and to roll up our sleeves and do some dirty jobs, allow ourselves to be humbled enough to clean the toilet when Reverend Faith Fowler says, John, get down on your hands and knees and wipe that thing clean. We all can do that in different ways. We can get educated. We can oppose human trafficking in all of its forms. We can advocate for more just prices with some of the products that we buy so that all the way down the line of that particular product, people are cared for with justice and equity. Maybe part of our Lenten journey can be discovering where the things that we own come from. Investigating their story, I promise it is incredibly difficult to know the entire story of some of the things that we buy. The good news in the midst of this is that all of us can do this work. We can look at ourselves and determine where we exist within society and what blessings and privileges we have that others might not ever have access to. As I've been continuing to do work in Liberia, I recognize that there are times that an entire family will work so that one kid can go to school, and that one child who gets educated and gets a really nice job oftentimes sends financial resources back to their entire family, and it can raise an entire family, sometimes an entire village or a community up. There are folks from Liberia that get educated, come to the United States, make a salary, and build entire schools or health clinics in the communities that they come from. It's an amazing story of self-emptying love for the places that built them up. For years, their siblings, their cousins worked so that one kid from the family can go to school, and then they leave and they develop these resources and they invest it back into the community. Beautiful stories in almost every community I've visited in Liberia. They have some wealthy benefactor who continues to take on the form of a servant so that these folks in Liberia can have a better life in their future. Maybe we're called to do the same thing, to go out and find people in the world who could benefit from our generosity, from our self-emptying love. And I believe as a church we're committed to that work. I invite you to join me in taking on the form of a servant, humbling ourselves even to the status of a slave, I'll close with this. I found myself at the end of my high school experience with a couple of unique job opportunities. They're opportunities that continue to shape me to this day. One of them was working for the local city that I grew up in, and one of my jobs was to go through all of the parks in that particular community, and my job was to pull up the trash. And I remember sometimes those trash bags failed, and sometimes it rained. And what that meant is as you were pulling the trash out, you would get absolutely drenched with garbage water. It was a humbling job. Every once in a while, I would look in and see all kinds of stuff that would gross you out. I was about to describe it in detail, but then I was like, John, show some restraint. Nobody needs to know that. So there you go. I'm protecting you a little bit. There was something about that job, though, that helped me connect with the people who have done that job for their entire lives. Another job I had, I was a dish boy. I remember washing pots and pans, burning my hands in the scalding hot water. Almost can feel that heat to this day when I think about it. Night after night, washing these dishes. When I think about some of the jobs that I had along the way, and I believe with all my heart that you've probably, some of you worked a job that you're like, I'd really rather not talk about that so much. But my hope is that when you see other people doing that work, or work similar to it, that those folks aren't invisible to you. That when you see somebody pulling a garbage bag out of a park, maybe for a moment you might just say, thank you so much for doing that work. Because at some point after it's rained, when they're pulling that garbage out of that garbage bin and water comes spilling all over them, it's disgusting, it's gross, it's worthy of Mike Rowe, but for just a moment, I hope that you'll pause and say, thank you so much for helping to keep this park clean. It's a human being, person with a name, a story, somebody's child, somebody's parent maybe, doing that incredibly difficult and gross and disgusting work, and we can be the kind of people that see those folks and get to know their names and their stories. It's easy to just walk by the person who's taking out the trash. It's transforming when we see those folks and we get to know their name and we sit next to them and maybe we learn a little bit about what their life is like as they create the rugs that might end up in our houses someday. I think what Jesus was trying to make sure that his disciples knew, James and John in particular, is that in order to enter into the kingdom of God, the pathway may be on our hands and knees, serving alongside our brothers and sisters all around the world who actually make our world spin. So let's hear their stories and get to know them. Acknowledge them and respect them for the hard work that they're doing. Let's do the dirty jobs alongside them to continue to make our world spin. Thanks be to God for these difficult words of Jesus. Amen.
He who leads me beside still waters once was led like a lamb to be slain. He would suffer and bleed, so his world of lost sheep would be safe in God's fold once again. My shepherd became a lamb, bleeding from thorns meant for me, sacrificed on an altar called Calvary. My shepherd became a lamb. Earth and heaven stood breathless and silent as he poured out his life on the tree, Let my heart look on him who was pierced for my sin, crying, worthy the Lamb slain for me. My shepherd became a lamb, bleeding the thorns meant for me. Sacrificed on an altar called Calvary, my shepherd became a lamb. Worthy is he, the lamb slain for me. Worthy, worthy is he, my shepherd became a lamb, bleeding from thorns meant for me. Sacrificed on an altar called Calvary, my shepherd became a lamb. Worthy is he, the lamb slain for me. Worthy, worthy is he. My shepherd became a lamb, bleeding from thorns meant for me. Sacrificed on an altar called Calvary, my shepherd became a lamb. Sacrificed on an altar called Calvary, my shepherd became a
So it's been kind of a rough week this week. And normally when I am doing the prayer for you, with you, I start thinking about it, reading, doing all of those things to prepare for writing it. And I didn't have time or energy to do that until yesterday. And I think that was God sent in a sense, because I had the week that I had, and then I was reading the scripture and all sorts of preparatory things yesterday, and I realized that none of that mattered, that my life wasn't all that hard. And it also reminded me that last weekend, so last Saturday, I went to the Verizon store, and I got me a new phone because mine was a dinosaur. And, you know, Lonnie had been telling me for months, you need a new phone, you need a new phone. So I finally went and got it. And as we were sitting in the Verizon, speaking to a gentleman that I knew since he was in preschool, met him there at the Verizon store in Fenton. He lives in Owosso. God only knows why I met him there. But anyways, he was selling me and going through all of this stuff. And Lonnie and I were having a discussion about the service, and with Verizon comes various things. So you can get all the streaming networks, yada, yada, yada. And we were talking about what they didn't have. And I said to Lonnie, we are discussing streaming networks, and there are people out there talking about the fact that they don't have clean drinking water. And we're talking about the fact that they don't have a streaming network that we want. Think about that, and let's pray. Lord, today we come to you as we have heard a passage and a sermon teaching us and guiding us into thoughts that perhaps aren't all that comfortable. a message that reminds us that man did not come to be served, but to serve. We humbly come before you, God, to remember that your teachings will not always fill us with warmth, that being a part of your family and believing in you does not always mean that joy will fill our hearts. That we will leave church on Sunday or finish praying at any time and not always have a satisfied feeling that our prayers will be answered in just the way that we envision, or that what has been preached has utterly and completely lined up with our way of thinking. We want to be first. We want to be right. We want our ideas considered more important than others. But in many ways, you have told us that that should not be our expectation. And sometimes you teach us with hard lessons and humbling situations. Perhaps you show us these behaviors in others. Teachable moments in toddlers when we teach them to share and consider others' perspectives, or when we watch others melt down and behave badly when things are not done how they want. We thank you for those times that you delicately remind us, or when you must take us down a notch, not so delicately. We want to be comfortable and content, but sometimes the most good, the greatest ideas, the most justice has been done coming out of discomfort. There are so many others that live every minute of their lives in a state of chaos. They may be physically unwell or in harm's way. They may not know where their next meal is coming from or where the next bomb will be dropped. They may be battling demons in their own minds, fighting anxiety, depression, or addiction, and are seeking to be less stressed in our high-paying jobs or less inconvenienced in our luxury SUVs while we drive on vacation. Well, that should be taken in perspective. We raise our hearts to you, Lord, today to ask for your forgiveness, to humbly ask for you to help align our thoughts back to what is truly what you have planned for us. We may have had a disagreement with a loved one recently. We may have had to talk on the phone with our insurance company or our bank or our cell phone company to correct an action, a wrong that was done to us recently. We may have been cut off in traffic, or the car in front of us wasn't moving fast enough. Today we stop, and at this moment, we put this into perspective. We sit and listen to those key words: insurance, bank, cell phone, and car. And put those into perspective. Realize the comforts that you have gifted to us. Let us express to you, Lord, our thanks and ask for you to, at this very moment, turn our minds to how we can serve others. The difficult verses that we hear in this series and don't always understand. The words that our pastors preach, not only today, but other times beyond this sermon series, that make us uncomfortable or offer up a different perspective from our own. Let us remember that there is a reason that we need to hear them. There are lessons that we need to learn. For all the missions that this church participates in, there are hundreds of needs left untouched. Church is not always about having our way of thinking affirmed. It can be, we are grateful for that, but it's also about service and reaching out to join others in their discomfort or heartbreak or abuse or addiction or diagnosis or end of life. And saying, in the name of the Lord, how may I serve you? One of those ways that every week we do that is by our prayer quilts. And today we tie a knot and say a prayer for Roy, Phil, and Carol. And don't let that be our only service. Lord, we reach out and we humbly ask that you take whatever you need of us and use us at your will. And now let's spend a moment in silent prayer. And now let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May I ask the ushers to come forward? Brothers and sisters, your faithfulness in giving is a clear manifestation of your faith as a faithful servant of God and your heart to engage in the fulfillment of Christ's mission. Your generosity in so many ways helped the church to continue its mission as well. May God richly bless you as you share. Amen. We have Nicole Wright for the Social Justice Awareness Moment.
Good morning. If you came in from that direction through the community room today, you may have noticed that things looked a little bit different and there were a few more of us scurrying around out there trying to set up this morning. That is because today is the Church and Society Justice Fair. So what we are trying to do today is highlight the many mission and justice projects that this church does. These are all projects that are rooted in the United Methodist social principles, and we cover a whole variety of topics. Now, we're not just going to say, come talk to us, though we are going to say, come talk to us. But here's your job. On the way out today, there's going to be these half sheets. The ushers will have them. We also have a bunch of them out there. There are six tables out there and six marks, they're listed on here to help you find your way around this fair. Come visit the projects, come say hi. We're gonna check off when you come say hi to each project. If you check off all of these projects, hand it back to whatever table you end on, and Church and Society is going to donate $2 on your behalf to improve public transportation here in Livingston County. So it's that easy. Come say hi, there's a bunch of us out there. Get some check marks, learn about all these really cool projects that this church is doing, and we're gonna donate some money on your behalf. That easy. If there is an event that you are particular, an event or a project that you're particularly interested in, we all have sign-up sheets, so feel free to leave your information and we can get in touch with you and help you get involved in any of those projects. Also, if as you're walking around, as you're checking these out, we have accessibility, anti-bias, anti-racism, green team, all these different things. If there is a project, if there is a social justice issue that you don't see represented, something that you have a passion for, that you would like to do, that we just haven't gotten to yet, check in with the Church and Society table, let any of us know, and we will be in touch to see if there is a way we can get more projects started. Thank you very much, and hope to talk to you out in the community room during coffee hour.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, in our lives, we often want to be first, but you have taught us to be humble and gracious. Bless the offerings we bring today. Use them to grow a community full of humility and grace, where all can have a place at the table. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, I just wanted to share with you, as we were moving our way through this last week, perhaps some of you have seen some of the devastation that's taken place, you know, across the state of Michigan with some of the tornadoes that touched down in Union City and Three Rivers. One of the ways that our church has responded to those kinds of disasters and experiences that have taken place in our community is by supporting UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And so actually, Sue Fuchs, thank you so much for lifting this before the service started. I appreciate your witness and your heart for people who are struggling in the midst of this time, but I've seen some images and actually heard from the pastors of those communities who shared that their churches are open. The United Methodist churches in those communities are open, distributing resources. And our church responds through this UMCOR organization, United Methodist Committee on Relief, that as soon as a disaster happens, they have boots on the ground distributing flood buckets and resources to help people put their lives back together. If you feel moved to support UMCOR, you're welcome to do that. And those resources, 100% of them go right to the communities that are devastated by things like tornadoes and earthquakes and fires. It's what we do as a church. It's a phenomenal organization that is through the United Methodist Church that helps people during times of need. So as you depart from this place, I encourage you to hold those people in your hearts, their homes that have been destroyed, businesses that have been destroyed, churches that even have had their roofs ripped off the top of them. And so we pray for our siblings, you know, across the state who experienced those devastating storms on Friday. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and may you have the courage to be servants to all. May you have eyes to see people as they are, and may you have the grace to recognize that we are all children of God, and that we all have a place at God's right and left hand when we humble ourselves, even to the point of being a servant. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.